And welcome to Weather and Ag in Focus on this first day of spring. Yeah, spring finally officially arrived this morning. And it's feeling like it out there with temperatures in the 50s across much of the area. I'm Chief Meteorologist Dean Wysocki, along with our Ag Director, Bridget Riedel, who is on the road again. Bridget, have you run into any snow?
Well, okay, so south of Sioux City, you started to notice, or right around North Sioux City, I started to notice a little bit of, some light snow on the ground, right? Not a lot. Then through Omaha, there was a fair amount of heavier snow. You can see where, especially side roads, look like they still are trying to get those cleaned up. Certainly broken power lines. It appears there was an ice event prior to that snow, and we've all been through those things a number of times. So you saw broken trees and power poles. But from the north side of Omaha to the south side was a vast difference. And honestly, hardly any snow on the south side of Omaha. And now I'm in Houlton, Kansas, and frankly, it's clear, 50 degrees.
It's what a difference that snowpack makes. And yeah, boy, I was talking to some friends down in Omaha, and 100,000 people lost power in the city from the wind and the heavy snow and down power lines. And even our own Jace and Big Game James.
Yes.
I don't know if you heard the story, but they kind of, well, I told them, I'm like, I wouldn't do that again if you run into something like that.
They circumvented the system, you might say. But, you know, for me, just a few hours later coming down I-29, it was open. Roads are open and mm-hmm. the roads were good. No ice buildup or anything like that. But again, you can tell that there was some icing first before
right.
the snow and the wind really picked up. And if you remember the Christmas storm of 2023, that's what it looked like to me, was when we had such an epidemic of broken power poles, folks out of power for several days, if not weeks in some cases. And there's a whole lot of power companies down here putting poles back up, making sure they get the wires restrung and folks are getting back online.
Right, right. And we've got some rather tranquil weather, at least in the short term, in our forecast. Today's the first day of spring, and it is feeling like it out there. Beautiful afternoon. It is a little on the breezy side, yeah, with temperatures in the low 50s or right around the 50-degree mark right now, and we'll warm up into the mid-50s today with those south-southwest winds at about 15 to 30 and gusty at times. Overnight tonight, a cold front swings through the area. We'll switch our winds to the northwest at about 10 to 25 and drop down into the mid-20s and about 20 degrees cooler tomorrow. With partly cloudy skies and breezy conditions out of the northwest, we'll have highs only in the mid-30s. Now, we'll temporarily warm it up over the weekend. Another clipper system out ahead of that. We get southerly winds, and that'll warm us up into the mid to upper 40s on Saturday. But then that clipper system brings snow into the forecast for Sunday, and some wind with that as well. So there will be some areas of blowing snow. Now, I'm not expecting a lot of snow. There will be parts of the valley that pick up about 2 to 4 inches. Right now, it's favoring the northern valley and areas just east of the FM area into Lakes Country. However, just took a look at a couple of our morning computer model runs, and they're trying to uptick the snow amounts here in the FM area up to about 2 inches or so. So, and again, you combine that with some pretty gusty winds on Sunday, and it could be a little messy around here on Sunday, especially for the first weekend in spring. And then we're on the LRC pattern right now, where we are in a northwest flow, where we'll get quite a few of these clipper systems to come through over the next couple of weeks. And then they'll warm us up, cool us down behind it, warm us up ahead of it, cool us down behind it. So, no big storms, in terms of moisture on the horizon, which isn't great news. Again, we keep saying we need the moisture, and we do, but I don't see any consistent chances for appreciable moisture until we get into April. So, which is okay. That's pretty decent timing. Give the ground a chance to thaw out a little bit more, so when we do get the precip, it can readily soak in instead of running off.
Well, and let's face it, we are almost April. It's not that far away, considering today is March 20th, and we are indeed still also celebrating National Ag Week. I am still taking nominations for the quilt that we are featuring called The Farmer's Prayer. A thank you to our quilt sponsors, and that would be Triple E Incorporated, Sendak Cooperative, Fullerton Elevator, as well as So please do that. We'd love to have you.
Gotcha. Good deal. Good deal. And that quilt, that's a beautiful quilt. We're showing that right now on our live link, and that's just a gorgeous, gorgeous, gorgeous quilt. And boy, the lucky winner who gets that. Would you frame that, Bridget? I mean, that's frame worthy for sure. Or would you use it to keep you warm?
It might be. I think it really depends on the family or the individual who receives it and what their plan might be. Again, it is featuring a farmer's prayer, so it's great handiwork, and it really could be that sort of a showpiece as well. Now, for those who are curious about what the weather might be bringing, what other topics might be coming to mind, don't forget you can reach us at 701-293-9000. That is the JLA Insurance phone line. We greatly appreciate it every time you all call. Maybe give us a little bit of homework.
All right, Bridget's, we're having a little trouble with our connection with Bridget since she's on the road. Bridget, you're going to have to call in. As we're losing your connection. Bridget's on the road to nowhere, down in, where'd she say she was, Addison? Down in Kansas, I believe, and she's losing connection. So we'll take it over from here, but we're going to take a break here in a couple minutes, but when we come back at the bottom of the hour, we're going to have Gary Lezak, the founder of the LRC. He is going to join us, and he's going to be talking about what this upcoming season is going to look like. We're not going to go into detail. We're going to hold that. Mark your calendars for April 3rd. That's when we'll have Gary on the Jay Thomas Show, and we'll be talking about the LRC in depth as we get into early April on what the rest of the spring and early summer holds. But like I was telling Bridget, we're in one phase of the LRC cycle where we're getting this northwest flow, and we'll get quite a few clippers coming into the area. And as we do, we'll see these bouts of precip come through. But as we get into April, especially towards the middle of the month, that's when we'll start to see our chances of precip increase. The three storms that we had in March were all very strong storm systems that have raced through the Central Plains. Those are the storms that will be cycling back in April, from mid-April onward through that first week in May. And though that's when we stand our best chance up in the northern plains here of seeing some appreciable moisture. And we'll see some before that, but anything substantial is going to have to hold off until then. And I think we got Bridget back now, right, Bridget?
We do. And all right. You know what? No matter how close you are to Topeka, Kansas, sometimes you don't have good phone service.
Right.
What works out here, guys. Exactly right. Okay, so there's two things in the livestock realm that I wanted to bring up today. One of them is, for many of you Yellowstone fans out there, you remember towards the end of the series where there was a sudden need to move the head of cattle to Texas because of brucellosis. And sometimes when we watch things like Yellowstone, they're not a documentary. Sometimes they're a little bit inaccurate. In fact, if Taylor Sheridan wants to give me a call, I have some comments about his episode on paraquat I'd like to correct. Nonetheless, when it comes to brucellosis, it is real, and there have been two herds in Wyoming that have been identified and confirmed by the National Veterinarian Services Laboratory in Ames, Iowa, that yes, they do indeed have brucellosis. These are herds that are in two specific counties where there is a designated surveillance area for brucellosis. What they do is watch because there can be that interaction of the bison with the cattle, and so in those areas, cows can, in fact, be affected with brucellosis. What is that? It's a fatal respiratory disease. It can, in fact, kill cattle. And so what they are doing is, because these herds were in that area and are already sort of quarantined, Wyoming will keep them quarantined. They do not have to worry about contact quarantine, which would mean they would have to quarantine other herds that have been in direct contact with these two particular herds in these two counties. Why do we care about brucellosis? Brucellosis can spread not only from Wyoming into Montana, the Western Dakotas. In fact, we have something called the Bang vaccination that we already do regarding brucellosis. It's a metal ear clip. That metal ear clip is being replaced by EID tags. They are electronic identification devices that are now going to be going on those animals. Bang vaccinations matter the most when you are crossing state lines. If you are selling animals or if you are moving them for like stock shows, that type of thing. So we do have to keep up with the overall herd health, and this is just one of the ways that we are doing it. Additionally, in an update, there is a pest that we talked about earlier this winter called the New World Screwworm. I know, I can already hear y'all rolling your eyes and making jokes about it, but it's real. So the screwworm has been identified in Mexico, as well as further south into areas such as Panama, Honduras, Nicaragua. It is a bug, kind of looks like a slug. So for those of you who are very busy Googling out there, it will burrow under the hide, cause infection, and then can lead to death loss in cattle. U.S. Department of Agriculture, the Division Animal and Plant Health Inspection Service, which is APHIS, would very much like to keep screwworm eradicated from the United States. We have been able to do that over the last few years. Don't need this flush of pests coming into the country. And so there is actually a way to prevent the screwworm from coming, and it's called the sterile fly dispersal strategy. And what they are trying to do is to introduce sterile flies so that they will not be laying the eggs of the screwworm, so that the screwworm cannot replicate and then move across the border, whether they move with cattle or in other means. You know, sometimes we have pests that move even on the weather, the wind current, et cetera. So that can be a bit of a problem too. So there we go. A couple of things that they sound like they're not real, but they actually are. And we're going to come back with one more thing that's real, and that would be the markets. We're going to listen to the American Ag Network. We're going to hear what markets are doing today for livestock, and then we'll return.
And welcome back to Weather and Ag in Focus, 1:22 in the afternoon on this first day of spring, first official day of spring, March 20th. And so, Bridget, we're going to play a little spring trivia. So, first day of spring, true or false, is the only day of the year where you can balance an egg on its end. Is that true or false?
I know it's one of the equinoxes, so I'm going to say it's true.
It's actually false. You can honestly do it any day of the year. And I always thought the same thing. I always thought it was just spring. The vernal equinox is the only time you could balance an egg on its end, but you can actually do it any time of the year.
Wow. If we're playing trivia, Dean, this is going to go back and forth. I've got ag ones for you, too.
Okay. Do you have
I mean, it's National Ag Week.
Right. Well, why don't we do... All right. Hit me with one. Let's see if we can get it.
All right. So, well, true or false, is there truly a disease called Q fever in cattle?
I'm going to say true.
It is. I recently read a book written by a veterinarian in Virginia, and she talked about contracting Q fever from delivering a calf and then having to also work on other cattle where she was sewing back in prolapsed uteruses. And Q fever starts with flu-like symptoms, but it's even more persistent and can really accelerate. It is contagious. It's a zoonotic disease of a bacteria. Infected animals can spread that to humans with direct contact, so in the situation with calving, et cetera. And honestly, I had never heard of Q fever until I read this book just a few months ago. But it is actually something that's out there, and I think it's fairly rare. It may also be more regionalized in the U.S., but Q fever, another thing that does exist.
Interesting. Okay, I've got another weather. I got another weather one for you. So the vernal equinox, which is today, this represents the sun's direct rays fall over the Tropic of Cancer, the Tropic of Capricorn, or the equator.
So it's not Tropicana, the orange juice, huh?
No, that it's not.
Okay, if we are in, the equator, because that's going to split the difference between the two.
So you're going equator?
Sure.
Yeah, you are 100% correct.
I don't think that's,
Nope, you are right.
Good, because I was going to say, I'm not sure if that's right, because June, when we are in midsummer, might have made more sense, but here we are.
June would be on the Tropic of Cancer. As the tilt of the sun tilts, or the northern end of the earth tilts a little more towards the sun with more longer daylight. So, yeah, this is equal day, equal nights as the sun's most direct rays fall on the equator. And that's globally. All right. So most everybody has equal days and equal nights, length time.
Well, let's talk about hogs. Even though pork has its moment to shine in October when we celebrate Porktober, doesn't mean we can't talk about it right now. So the U.S. produces approximately blank percent of the world's pork supply.
Is it do I get a multiple choice?
I can tell you it's double digits.
Okay. I would say 30%.
Actually, we produce 11%.
Oh, wow.
Pork is the most consumed meat globally, and it makes up 36% of all meat consumption. So when you say 30%, in some respects, you would be correct, because it is, again, most consumed meat on a global basis.
So who produces the most pork?
To be perfectly honest, I would estimate it to be China. And that's without going and looking anything up. China is known for a heavy amount of pork production. It's most of their diet, if you're going to look, is going to be chicken or pork. As China erupted into more of a middle class over the last 15 years, we saw an increase in pork production, but still so much of their traditional diet is based on pork and chicken.
And thankfully, Google works, and you are correct. China produces the most pork globally. followed by the European Union and the United States. China produces 50 million metric tons annually. Wow.
And much like everywhere else on the globe, they use everything but the oink. That's at least what our ancestors often said.
Man. Well, we're just a wealth of knowledge here this afternoon.
Well, okay, this really stands out for me and reminds me I should probably get back to my diet. The heaviest hog in history, who was named Big Bill, weighed in at how many pounds?
Oh.
This is bigger than a bull.
Whoa. What's an average pig weigh?
Not this.
Yeah, I'm gonna guess. 1,100 pounds.
Yeah, just take a wild one.
1,100.
Okay, it's actually 2,552 pounds.
Oh.
Big Bill, the heaviest hog in history. That's a lot of pork chops.
I was thinking the same thing.
Imagine the size of those hams. They would have been tremendous. Yeah, even, again, as we celebrate National Egg Week, there's a lot of things that we can look at globally that's happening. I hope the rest of the globe is taking in some of the fun facts that we have going on, where we stand with pork production, et cetera. We have always been doing an excellent job of beef production. Chicken and poultry really are the most consumed by meat types, and that means they have a domination of about 70% of the countries in the world consume chicken and pork. Fish is also a dominant type and dominant in about 56 different countries. Iceland is the world leader in fish and seafood consumption per capita.
What, Iceland? Is that what you said?
Iceland. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Wow.
Apparently they really love their cod.
Well, they are very healthy eaters from what I understand.
They tend to be.
Yeah.
Yes, they do tend to be.
Wow.
Yes.
Okay, so I got another trivia question for you. I left the sheet. I took the wrong sheet. Are you kidding me?
Well,
hold on. Oh, nope, here it is.
Okay.
Here it is.
Okay.
So, true or false?
Okay.
New Orleans has received more snow in one single storm than three of our storms combined.
That was true for this year. In fact, they beat out, their amount of snowfall beat out Aberdeen, South Dakota.
Isn't that crazy? Yeah. Yeah.
Yep.
That blizzard that hit the Gulf Coast there, they had 8 inches of snow. Our largest snowfall so far this season in any single storm here in the FM area was 3.5 inches. That's That's weak. I mean, wow, when New Orleans is outperforming us, that's
absolutely
that is crazy.
Well, folks, as we reach our bottom of the hour news, do not forget to be in touch with Chris Sherman over at Tech Support Farm, because your technology should work for you and your farm and ranch, and you want it to work well. And Chris at TechSupportFarm.com would be the guy to help make sure that that is true and accurate. After bottom of the hour news, Dean's going to return, and he'll have with him Gary Lezak. So look forward to the rest of the show.
And welcome back to Weather and Ag and Focus, 1:34 in the afternoon on this first day of spring. And it's feeling like it, finally. 51 degrees outside with a south wind gusting up to 29, and we'll make it into the mid-50s today. But as we said earlier, don't get used to it. Snow's back in the forecast as we head into Sunday. So joining us for the rest of the show here is, I'm sure many of you know, he's been on with us before, the founder of the LRC and Weather 2020, Gary Lezak. Gary, welcome to Weather and Ag and Focus once again. We're going to have to put you on the payroll here pretty soon.
Dean, I appreciate it. It's great to be here and share some insight into this weather pattern that is real complex. But, yeah, it's great to be on with you. And then our full spring outlook is coming up in a couple weeks.
Yeah, April 3rd, we'll have you on the Jay Thomas Show. We'll be talking about what the rest of the spring holds for the area. And, boy, I'll tell you what, Gary, so for those not familiar, and we've talked about it quite a bit, and there's a lot of people that are really understanding and starting to follow along with the LRC. For those not familiar with the LRC, explain to for those that don't know what it is, how does it work? What exactly is the LRC?
Well, back in 1987, 1988, so about almost 40 years ago, I discovered that the weather pattern is cycling. When the storm systems that were just crazy winter storms that hit Oklahoma City back in that winter, they seemed to look the same. There was a big one-foot snowstorm a few weeks later. There was another big one-foot snowstorm, and this is at a place that doesn't get snow. So they average 8 inches of snow a whole year, so they had 30 inches that winter. So I noticed the weather patterns look similar, and so just fast forward almost 40 years later now, we developed this system. It works. The pattern is cycling. There's complete order and chaos. What most meteorologists and scientists think is just chaos, and that river of air above us is actually the exact opposite of chaos. It's completely ordered. Now, when I say completely ordered, it tells us when and where there will be storm systems, but it doesn't tell us if it's going to be cold enough to snow necessarily or if it's going to be rain. It does help us. It provides insights. But if you do get a big snowstorm in the fall, the chance of that part of the pattern producing another one during the winter and then into the spring is higher in this year. So that's what it's all about. And we have a model. It's the LRC model. We call it the Weather 2020 Vision Dashboard. And farmers all over the United States are starting to use it. We have over 100 farmers using it now, and it's available. Why wouldn't you have this tool in your weather tool forecast set, and you can predict the weather all the way through planting, growing, and harvest now with a high level of accuracy. That's what it's all about.
Right. And I'm going down, I'm giving a talk later this afternoon down in Wahpeton, just south of Fargo. We've got a group of about, I believe it's about 100 farmers, and one of the subscribers to the LRC kind of put this together, and he asked, would you come and talk to us about the LRC? He goes, I really think this would benefit our farmers. And like you said, Gary, it really has. Now, we just got done going through the stormy part of the LRC cycle. And Addison, if you can pull up that graphic that shows us the two parts of the LRC cycle. And three big storms in March. And if you look at our graphic here on the left, that's the stormy part of the LRC cycle. This thing produced three huge storms in the month of March. Now, we only caught one of them up here in the northern plains. The other two went south. So I've had a few, and now we're starting to transition into phase two of the LRC cycle, which is at Northwest Flow, where we're getting more of these clippers coming in. But that stormy part of the LRC cycle will be back, it looks like, starting in mid-April. I've had quite a few people ask, Gary, because during the stormy part of the LRC cycle in November, we got hit pretty hard up here. Now, this last cycle, we kind of, well, I don't want to say we totally missed out, but we missed out on the majority of the precip as it fell just to our south. Now, odds are when this returns in April, as that jet stream lifts north, we should see more of these storms produce some more beneficial moisture up in the northern plains, wouldn't you think?
I do think so, and I think that's going to happen mid-April to early May, and then again late May to mid-June. Those are two more times before summer settles in where the jet stream is still strong enough to produce about 15 potential storm systems. So the odds of you staying dry in areas that are dry is low. So there's a 30% chance of any drought developing, 70% chance it does not quite intensify. One thing on that map that you see there that I was wrong on my drawing, because I drew this in, the model picked it out pretty good. I just made a mistake. I had Montana as dry in that stormy part of the pattern. And during the winter, while North Dakota was getting missed, Montana was getting hit. Mm-hmm. So there's actually right on the Montana-North Dakota border, it gets wet as you go west into Montana. And so it's rare for that to happen. But that's been part of this pattern. So that's one thing that's all wrong in there. But as you can see on phase one, it does have you missing them with most of them going to yourself. But in this phase we're going in for the next 2.5 weeks, 3 weeks or so, before we get to mid-April, there's going to be opportunities for systems coming in from the northwest that will hit you.
Yeah, and boy, we need it. And a lot of the farmers are asking, oh, man, please tell us it's not going to stay this dry through spring, because this is back-to-back winters we've had, Gary, of not much snow. In fact, I was checking out some stats, and we were talking about this earlier. Our largest snowfall here in Fargo this year, out of one storm, 3.5 inches. That was back on December.
Oh, my goodness.
That's it.
Wow.
That was back on December 19th. Our second largest, 3.4, on February 5th. Everything else was 2.5 inches or less. We've only had 20.1 inches of snow this year. Kansas City has had more snow than we have at 22 inches for the season. So
it is amazing.
It's been and this is back-to-back winters where we've we haven't had much snow. Now, we still have the rest of this month in April to go, so we've got plenty of time to add to that. But it's been an odd winter, and is part of that due to the LRC? Is part of that due to El Nino, La Nina? What are your thoughts?
It is definitely the LRC is the centerpiece of the big atmospheric puzzle. So the way the weather pattern's set up, it's consistent. So you started getting mist. You didn't get a lot of snow at the beginning. You're not getting a lot of snow in the middle. Now, at the end, we'll see. A couple of these storms could all of a sudden, really get you pretty good. I'm looking at the model for forecast from the LRC for now through the next few months, and it does have struggle areas, especially down across South Dakota where it's 70% to 80% of average. We'll talk about that more in the spring forecast coming up in a couple of weeks, but it does have near to below average rainfall and melted down snow for the next few months. So it doesn't look very wet, but will it be timed right for the the different crops you guys are putting in?
Right.
That's what we'll address here in a couple of weeks. There's one big that mid-April to early May period, right in early May, late April, is a big storm then, and there's one more right before summer settles in. So there's going to be opportunities to get an inch liquid or more out of a couple of storms as we go into the warmer season.
Right, and that's what we've been kind of preaching too, is hang tight. I know a lot of the farmers. I was talking to a couple farmers. They're getting ready to go into the fields here shortly to plant winter wheat already, it's obviously it'll be a little while for corn. The ground temperatures have to get up there around 50 degrees before we start doing that. But in terms of severe weather, this season has been kind of hit and miss. There's been some pretty big storms and in the Midwest and in the South. What does this portray using the LRC when it comes to hurricane season? Have you had a chance to really dive into that yet? I know usually you start to dive into that in March. Have you had any chance to kind of look at what the upcoming hurricane season might look like?
Yeah, our hurricane season forecast guide will be coming out here next week.
Okay.
I'm going to post that on our site. And we do have our, if you go on to the severe weather guide, this the hurricane guide and the winter guide, You just go to weather2020.com. We bundle them all together for $149. And if you do buy it, then I'm doing a webinar, and you can be in our webinar late next week. So we're actually doing a webinar for the severe weather season. Severe weather season is incredible so far. Our first three predictions have all verified. We made a major prediction, this horrific outbreak with the 40 people killed, including eight people on I-70 in the dust storm in western Kansas. It's amazing. The dust storm in western Kansas, that you go, uh-oh, was that the beginning of the Dust Bowl? Because they had a major dust storm, and eight people died horrifically in these car crashes because of visibility down to zero. But they had a blizzard in the exact same spot 3 days later. So a dust storm to a blizzard. And they're buried under that snow now in that same spot. So that just shows you the weird dichotomy this weather pattern has been in. But for hurricane season, it applies. And my analysis is done. I'm creating the forecast. I'm showing the forecast based on the LRC. What happens with the LRC, the second weather pattern, it sets up day one of this year's pattern. Let's just say it's October 5th or 6th. And so we're in the fifth cycle of this year's pattern. If you're following along with us, I know a few of you out there really are, you know it's been about 6 weeks or 40 to 41 days average cycle length this year. So we're in the fifth cycle. We can see hints of what will become hurricanes in the previous cycles. So between now and hurricane season, which officially begins June 1st, but maybe mid-May, as soon as waters warm up and the hurricanes can begin developing tropical systems, we have identified some active weather, and I think it's going to be rather active. Last year, the forecast from all other sources pretty much were saying a hyperactive season. It was not. We had 18 named storms. The forecast of 25, 30 named storms didn't happen. Now, was it a bad hurricane season? Hurricane Helene was horrific. Milton was bad. This year, I've identified about five parts of the pattern that are going to cycle through during hurricane season. So I know of five that will happen near the United States, which probably means 10 closer to the United States, which may mean as many as 20 named storms this year. So, but that forecast is coming out next week. I haven't put my numbers down, but they're going to come out. And just something to make it clear, if you're wondering about the LRC, Barcelona Supercomputing Center in Barcelona, Spain, has the site that it's called the Barcelona Supercomputing Center. They track our hurricane forecast and about 30 others, from government agencies to universities to private companies. And Weather 2020 has had arguably the most accurate hurricane season forecast the last 3 years. And it's not just the numbers. That's what they track, are the numbers, really. We predict where and when, just like we do during the winter and the spring.
Yeah, and I believe Hurricane Helene was one of them that you nailed last year, and that was devastating to Florida, obviously, if anybody remembers that. They're still cleaning up in some areas from Hurricane.
It was the flooding inland across the Carolinas that was horrific. It took a perfect track to go upslope into some higher terrain, and it produced way too much rain. So a lot of the fatalities were from flooding.
Yeah. And if anybody has any questions for myself or Gary, Gary will be on here for a few more minutes, 701-293-9000. Again, that's 701-293-9000. Now, Gary, when I was first introduced to the LRC, I mean, it was not something that we learned in school. And I thought, well, really, how can this be? And I'll tell you, after learning and being certified on how this works and how to use it, how to forecast with it, what's been the word, I guess I'll just say the word on the street, whether it be from other meteorologists or just people in general, are they understanding and accepting that, hey, this is the new trend, if you will, or the new most accurate way to forecast meteorology and to forecast weather? Is this becoming a little more acceptable and more widespread?
No. I think we want it to be yes someday, right?
Right.
But no, they need more papers to read, more studies to read. I'll put some of this in my webinar next week when I'm talking to the people out there that are understanding it. But it's not just believing it. It's being able to show how it's scientifically proven. Mm-hmm. I do scientific analysis, a lot of research, but out there it is not accepted yet, which means a lot of you listening that are starting to use the Weather 2020 and the LRC to for your planning, you're in on a little secret, on a big secret. I'm planning on writing another paper emphasizing last year that we predicted all five hurricanes. How is that possible? And then going into the science behind it, and hopefully it gets published in the big publications. But when you're breaking through with a new science, a new discovery in science that's 40 years of my life, and you can trace it back to the 1940s and 50s with this guy, Jerome DeMias, it takes a long time, and I hope to be alive when it comes to fruition. I think this next year is going to be a magical year for Weather 2020 and the LRC. We're going to get the word out. What just happened with this horrific severe weather outbreak, I haven't posted a lot about it because it's like when I put it out there, they go, oh, no, you didn't predict that, but we did. Anybody who's been following along knows we predicted this last severe weather outbreak 35 days before, maybe 80 days before, not 1, 2, or 3 days before, like the Storm Prediction Center.
Right.
Good job by the Storm Prediction Center, 1 or 2 or 3 days. But 35 days has to, if you have 35 days notice and you know out there that this is that storm that's going to produce a hurricane, it's an LRC storm. This is that storm that's going to produce a severe weather outbreak. Maybe of the 40 people that died, maybe one life we save, maybe 10 lives we save. If we can just save one life and help businesses, help farmers, then I'm feeling great. So it is challenging every day of my life. I'm obsessed with it. You know it's real. You know, Justin Storm, who worked here, he knows it's real. Bridget, Jay Thomas, I mean, the testimony that Jay Thomas gave a couple years ago is tremendous. It's incredible. So it is my goal to get it out there and to have it taught in universities. But that may be a decade away.
Right. But you know what? Hey, I mean, it does work. And like I said, I was not a firm believer off the bat. And absolutely, I can see how it works. Now, Gary, how worried about you? Because I'm pretty concerned. So this last severe weather outbreak, when these storms cycle back in mid-April through early May, I mean, we're really getting deeper into severe weather season where some of these, you know, severe weather events could be even more widespread. Are you worried this could be a worse outbreak as we head into the next cycle in April and early May, and then again late May into early June?
Yeah, the April, the one that just came through, apply the LRC, everybody. Here's how you do it. It's about 6 weeks later. So what just happened March 14th to 19th is going to return. So it's going to be around April 23rd, April 24th is my birthday, so right around there to May 1st, this is going to come back through. I do have it just southeast of North Dakota across Minnesota, but I have others. There's other parts of the pattern that are going to produce. One risk that reaches up to North Dakota is June 1st to June 8th. That is a potentially big one that could produce a tornado outbreak across Iowa, southern Minnesota, that could extend into your area of North Dakota. And then another big one that is really centered on Minnesota and Iowa, extending up to the Fargo area, that is June 12th to 18th. So when we go into June, here's some good news about that. Increased chance and probability of significant rainfall, but also the potential for severe thunderstorms. So June looks to be active in your area for severe weather before summer settles in.
Right.
And then during summer, I have another big one, July 10th to 18th. So July 10th to 18th, and I wrote down in my notes, this is related to the March 14th to 19th outbreak. So there's a 90% probability of severe weather between July 10th and 18th in your area. Write that one down, everyone.
July
Test
or June?
Out the LRC.
July or June?
July.
July. July. Okay.
That is a summer one.
July 10th through the 18th. All right.
By summer, the jet stream retreats north, but your area can get impacted by this. And so I have you guys in the middle of the red. I'm looking at it right now, but July 10th to 18th. I'll try to narrow down those dates, most likely right down the middle, July 14th, 15th.
Okay, now, Gary, Jay and I have a little friendly bet, and Jay predicted, Addison, what did Jay predict for the winter, 22 inches?
He's going to win.
And he's at 20. I told him we're probably going to get about another 10 before the season is done. He disagrees. So what are your thoughts? Do we get another 10 inches of snow before the season is done here?
I think you're going to win. What happens if you get a 25-inch blizzard? Wouldn't that be amazing?
I don't think many people want that, but we could use the moisture, that's for sure.
I know. I just say there's a couple of candidates for big snowfalls, so we will see. But the latest data between now and 15 days from now does have about a foot of snow in northeast North Dakota, but Fargo's right on the edge of that. You might be able to see that. But that's, I'm not confident in that solution. So we will see, but there's going to be a couple opportunities. I'm going to predict you win that bet.
All right. Good deal. Well, Gary, thanks for joining us. And again, don't forget, April 3rd, we will have our LRC Spring Weather Outlook on the Jay Thomas Show. Thanks again, Gary, for joining us. And for everybody else, don't go anywhere. The Jay Thomas Show, that's coming up next.